kinds of stuff, and you can go on the links and have all of those and learn more from this message later in the week. Thanks. Pastor Chris, it's back to you.
Says it in seven verses. that I think each of us need to hear. And he says this. On the evening of that first day of the week, this is John 20, verse 19, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." And he continues on into verse 21. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you." And in verse 26, a week later, his disciples were in that house again, and Thomas was with them. And though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Peace be with you. I don't know about you, but this week has been a week to really test my peace. Many different things have happened. Circumstances, of course, with the coronavirus, the suffering that people in our community have had, emotional outbursts that others in the community have had, things that folks have called on me to help with, my own physical adversities, the things that I've had to deal with the pain and everything that comes along with the cold weather and the changes that go on, and arthritis. My mother's birthday was this week. And so, again, you know, as many of you know, grief is one of the things that is really difficult. It's really difficult to work through and put behind each other. My mother would have been 65 years old this week. I miss her. And even though I'm surrounded by many people who love me, including my wife, who has so much energy, as you can tell, the fact of the matter is that grief makes you feel alone. And I remembered, and I see in chapter 20, I see these disciples who loved Jesus so much. They were in grief. They were in shock. They were scared. They didn't know whether they were going to be next to be crucified or what the circumstances were going to be. And Jesus appears to them as he appears to each of us. And he said, "Peace be unto you." Three different times. Said several things to me this week. First of all, it said that I'm not the only hardhead in the world. The disciples that were there also needed this peace. And they got to see Jesus. They had the opportunity to put their hands, one of them did anyway, in his wounds to verify that it was true. And so I began to wonder this week, what is exactly the peace that Christ is talking about? What is it that Christ is telling them that he's leaving, that he wants them to accept so that they can stop worrying, so that they can face whatever adversity it is that's going to come? Because he tells them that there will be pain. He told them that at the Last Supper. He told them there will be pain in this earth. It will be a short pain. Although I will tell you, the last 6 weeks have been pretty painful. And they haven't felt think you'll find in the Bible there's many times that there were people, particularly, let's just look at one that I can think of. He fed the 5,000. With what? With just a few loaves of bread and a few fish. He fed 5,000 people. Why should I think that he can't feed me? The widow who gave her last mite, who gave the last little bit of money that she had to the church, to God, as an offering, with love, and happily gave it. Why should I think that God won't bless those who need resources to pay the electric bill, or the car payment, or whatever the circumstance may be? Why can I not understand that the Bible brings peace through knowing that whatever it is that you and I are going through in our adversity, there were plagues in this Bible. In the New Testament, there were opportunities, there were plagues in the Bible. Not only the Old Testament. There were sicknesses and diseases, leprosy, right? Do you remember Jesus healed the lepers? We need peace. Peace be with you, he said. Lord, I can't find the peace. Where is the peace at in the grief that I feel? Where is the peace at in the overwhelming nature of this circumstance? Where is the peace in the sickness? The peace is the source of our salvation, and that's Jesus. We have been chosen by the Father to be reunited with Him. We have been chosen to be made holy through the Holy Spirit. And we have been cleansed and made new and given a new beginning by the blood of the Son. How do I know that? In verse 3, we read in 1 Peter, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." What's the proof that God chose us, that God is making us holy through His Spirit, and that God cleansed us through the blood of the Son? It is guaranteed by the resurrection of Christ. Well, you know, I accepted Him when I was 9 years old. But Lord, I've really messed my life up when I was in college, or when I was whatever. You fill in the blank of your life. When I was 35, I've been divorced. I've had drugs. I've been addicted to drugs. I've got crimes. I actually committed crimes. God says it's permanent. That no one can take your salvation away from you. How do we know that? 1 Peter chapter 1. Read this, verse 4. "And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you." What? It can never perish, spoil, or fade. So there isn't anything I can do to mess it up. The permanence of this salvation is important. And how powerful is it? It can't overcome. You don't understand what I've done. You don't understand how bad, how much faith I've lost. You don't understand. I don't know about God anymore. I believed once, but I don't believe anymore. The power of God in verse 5. "This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." What does that mean? That means that God's mighty power, He took our salvation, once we accepted him as our Lord and Savior, the peace that we need to be with him through all adversity, through grief, through our doubt, through all of the things, he gives us our faith, and he says it's permanent, nothing can touch it, and I'm going to keep it with me in heaven, and I'm going to make sure that you get there when the time comes, and I come back to reclaim the earth. God's mighty power is what assures us that we will safely arrive in heaven. How much joy should we have when we hear that? How much peace should we have? In verses 6 through 9, it says, "In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, or greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." What is he saying there? What does he mean? What he's saying is he promises us that this joy that he wants us to have can be present even in the midst of our trials, even in the midst of our doubt, in the midst of our grief, in the midst of the pain that you have, the adversity that you're going through in your life. The joy can be yours. The joy can be yours. And why is it important? What does this do for us? Why do we have to go through all this? And the reason is because we need it in order to help us to develop our faith. Our trials, everything that we're going through, produce fruit. They produce a twofold fruit, actually. The first one is it increases our faith in God. In verse 7, that's what he says. And it also increases our love for God. So our faith and our love for him is increased. We have so much to be thankful for, ladies and gentlemen. So much that God has given to us. But the greatest thing that he gave us is his peace. The peace that Jesus was talking about to the disciples in those verses in John chapter 20. And Peter was talking about in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. If you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, that's what you have. You have his peace. Nothing that this world has to throw at us can take away an understanding and a knowledge that we are going to be with him in heaven. Nothing. Not the fact that he can take our loved ones, Satan can take our loved ones, not the fact that Satan can allow or run rampant disease, cancer, not the fact that you made mistakes or that there are things that happen in your life that you just outright completely thrown away. You think the love that God has for you, but Peter says that you can't do anything to that. Jesus told them there isn't anything that you can do to destroy the love and the salvation that he has given to you. Nothing. Because it isn't even in your presence. It isn't even in your possession. He promises us that God, the power of God, will protect it. Nothing can overcome God. Nothing. Do you believe that? If you do, then you believe that your salvation cannot be touched. Because Peter tells us, the Bible tells us, that God is protecting your salvation. God is the one who's going to make sure that you get to heaven. It says so right there in the Bible. So many people come to me and they say, "Well, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what the circumstances of my life. It doesn't matter. Because God has got your salvation. If you accepted God, if you accept him as your Lord and Savior, and he comes to live in your life, the salvation that he offered to you and that you accepted and that you have lived, or even in a time, you can regress, you can backslide, you can do whatever, but you cannot lose your salvation. That's the peace that Christ was talking about to his disciples. The salvation that's offered through the resurrection. The salvation that's offered through Jesus and the blood of Christ. yeah, it's not much fun to be going through what we're going through right now. And yes, I've seen folks in my car, in my office, on the phone, crying because of the pain of whatever illness or circumstance may have afflicted their lives. And I personally also felt those same things. And yes, sometimes I am convinced that I have failed in some way and that my salvation might be in jeopardy. And I have to be reminded again what the peace is that Jesus was talking about in John chapter 20. And I need to remember the source of my salvation. That Jesus chose me. The Father God chose me. He chose you. He wants you to take this gift and use it so that you can live your life. If you haven't accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, today's the day. I want you to pray with me as we get ready to sing our invitation hymn. As we take the opportunity to think about, moment by moment, the hope that we have in Him. Let's pray together. Jesus, God, I am a sinner. I have sinned. I cannot save myself, and I seek and I ask you, Lord. I recognize that Jesus lived on the earth, that He died on the cross, and that most importantly, Lord, He was resurrected. I believe in Jesus Christ. Lord, I repent of my sins. I ask, God, that you would take them away, that the blood of Christ would cover them. Lord, I ask that your Spirit would invade my life, that I might be able to live a life that is pleasing to you. I seek to follow you. If you prayed that prayer with me, then Jesus is the Lord of your life. The salvation that I've talked about today, the power of God, all of those things are now a part of you. We prepare to sing our hymn moment by moment. Remember the source of your salvation and the guarantee and joy that it brings, the peace that it brings. Let us sing. Thank you.